That's just a tiny glimpse into my year, and I would, sometimes I get tired watching that video, and it was even a slow year for me. The last time I was here, I was recovering from blood clots and surgery and, a life-threatening, life-changing time, and I was home for 8 months, and when I went first back to Uganda, I wasn't quite healthy yet. I went back in Easter, but probably wasn't until August that I started to feel at my full strength again, but the Lord is good and carried me through each day, and he is always good, and I'm grateful for that. So today we're going to be talking about trusting God in the unknown times. A little bit of background, I serve with Global Outreach Mission, and I just came from there on Friday. We wrapped up a 75-year anniversary conference, and so we were 100 missionaries all together in Niagara on the lake, and we just had a blessed time worshiping, sharing together, and seeing what God is doing around the world. So that's my sending agency, but I also have the great joy of being a part of Resonate Global Mission, which is with the Christian Reformed Church. So I have the best of both worlds, two partner missionaries who are looking after me to help God's work being done over there in Uganda. So that's where I am, in Uganda, East Africa. I have been there for, 9 years. I first went there 10 years ago as a short-termer for 10 months, and then the Lord said, that's it, Karen, long-term. So I've been there ever since. This is a picture of Uganda. I land usually in Entebbe, which is right on the equator, and then I take a 7-hour drive to get up to Soroti. So it's a good 3 days journey. If you're all welcome to come and visit me, but put aside a little bit of time to get there. So, and the population of Uganda is 44 million people. And last night I stayed with some friends and we were looking at the map. It's about 400 kilometers by 500 kilometers in distance. So it's a very tiny country to squish that many people in. So it's a changing country. That's me on Lake Victoria on the edge of the Nile where the Nile River begins. And maybe some of you saw some pictures in the video, but I want to introduce you to Moses. This is my fiancé. So we were supposed to get married in September. He was supposed to have been here today and greet all of you, but Canada is just as tough as the U.S. to get into, and they denied him a visa 2 times. So that's why I know today's message is also for me, because we have to trust God in those unknown times, and I really wanted him here and for you guys to meet him, but hopefully someday that will happen. So Moses proposed to me in March, and I said yes, and I'm so excited. He is a musician. He plays guitar, keyboard, and drums, and he's learning saxophone. He's a singer and songwriter. He has his Master's of Divinity, and so I think it's going to be a fun partnership as we head into ministry together in the future. So Moses will be my family, but for the last 6-7 years, these people have been my family. These are the kids that I live with in my compound. And just being a part of their lives has been transforming for them and for me, for the both of us. And my home has been an open home for them, a place where they can feel respected and loved. And I know that they trust me in all sorts of situations. But also just they get to live life a little differently, doing crafts and eating foods that a lot of other Ugandan kids don't get the privilege of having. And I get the privilege of having some wonderful nieces and nephews in my life over there on the field. Uganda is not always an easy place, so I'm glad that those little ones there to love on me at the end of the day and I can love on them. But yeah, it's tough because there's a lot of mob justice or injustice in the country, very high corruption rate, and it's seen everywhere in the workforce, in the police force, in churches. It's terrible. There's a lot of poverty. There's been seasons of drought. There's been seasons of flooding. There's boredom amongst today's youth because the former generations used to be farmers, but now the size of the land compared to the number of people, the youth of today said, there's not enough space for me to grow my crops and provide for my family. And the education system is so poor that the youth of today don't know what to do. So it's a huge prayer request over there. There's disease. HIV/AIDS is still there. Malaria is a huge killer. That's from a mosquito bite. Then there are cultural strongholds and a spirit of distrust, which is really nationwide. Nobody trusts anybody. Wives don't trust their husbands. Church leaders are not trusted. And I didn't always know where that came from. And so I was digging into that and praying about it this summer, and that's what I felt like God was having me share with you guys. So a couple weeks before I came here, Moses and I and a few friends were driving in my car. So that's my new car from this past year. And we got pulled over by the police. That's its own story. But we had to spend 2.5 hours at a police post waiting for corruption to disappear and for us to move on our merry way. But we were sitting there under the flagpole in front of the police post out in the bush. And an ununiformed, dressed, whatever, officer came out of the police post and he says, "I'm the chief officer around here. You guys, you must have done something wrong today." He goes, "But it's also Sunday morning and you skipped church. So while you're sitting here, I'm going to preach to you today." And he started giving us, like, the most twisted gospel verses. And, again, that's a prayer request for Uganda. Christianity is there. It's almost 80%. But it's tied in with cultural tribalism. Or the witch doctors have a very strong influence there. There's a lot of alcohol and that sort of stuff. So it ties in, but also just a lack of understanding of the scriptures. And so this officer came and he said, "Oh, I really hope that God is going to speak to me today to tell you things." He said, "I have a Bible verse for you that will explain everything in this country." He said, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him," from Jeremiah 17. He said, so Karen, we don't trust in anybody in this country. And that's why I don't even trust that police officer who pulled you over, because he just wants a bribery. And I was like, wow, that explains so much. And yet it's so sad that they're picking that out as a biblical value. They're thinking that God is telling them, don't ever trust man. But I left the police post that day saying, is that what God's word is really saying? Because, yep, I'm reading it myself. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. But when you do a background check, that was when God was talking to the Israelites saying, don't put your trust in the Egyptians. Yes, you had nice food over there and you had a bed to sleep on at the end of the day. But I have a bigger plan for you. I have the promised land. But the Israelites, while they're sitting in the desert, they were trusting in their life in Egypt. And so I was like, okay, you always have to look at things in context. So we're just going to look at God's word today and let it speak for itself. And I'm praying that God's spirit will be our context today. But it really took me a lot it opened my eyes to see more of the brokenness in that place. Trust, according to Google, is defined as a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So it takes a lot to trust. It's a firm belief deep inside of us. And one of my favorite characters who trusted God was Joseph. So I'm just going to read a little bit of his story from Genesis 45. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with me or with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and your grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen. and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And afterwards, his brothers talked with him. The ending of that story always amazes me because he could have been so bitter and frustrated. It was 22 years from being thrown into the pit until he saw his brothers again. And if you know the story of Joseph, he was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery. He worked in Potiphar's house as a servant, wrongly accused, put in prison. Then he was an interpreter of dreams, but it took time before anybody brought that to surface. And he was finally able to reveal dreams to Pharaoh. And then he's promoted to second highest in the land. And yet everywhere that he went, he trusted God. He never, ever stopped. And because he trusted God, people trusted him. He was respected in the prisons, and he moved up. He was the head of Potiphar's household. He was trusted everywhere, but I think it's because he always trusted God. And so that's my prayer for my life, and I pray it's for you as well, that you never stop trusting God, that we always give glory to God, even when it feels like we're imprisoned, whether that's in our bodies or our minds. Maybe it's our workplaces are tough. Maybe we hate our bosses. But at the end of the day, God is good, and we need to trust him. But that's also my prayer for the people of Uganda, that they can trust him. And Uganda is still the youngest nation on earth. The average age is 15, but 80% are under the age of 30. So it's a very, very young nation. And so children's ministry and youth ministry are very important. Again, the youth in Uganda are the youngest. 77% of its population under the age of 30. And there are 7,310,000 youth from the ages of 15 to 24. And they're having a tough time because leaders of today are telling them, you're lazy, you're arrogant, you're useless, you're disrespectful. And that's because they're not farming the land, but there's not enough space for them to farm. And they don't know what to do because they haven't been equipped to do anything else. The education system is so lacking. But also they're living in a day and age when culture is changing so fast. When I went there 10 years ago, a few of us had cell phones. Right now, everybody has a cell phone. Even the youth deep in the village have the internet, which means they're seeing the rest of the world for the first time. And they're saying, wow, why do I want to be a farmer right here when I can live like that? And so they're living in a hard time. And as church leaders, as Christians, we need to help them process that. And I don't even have the answer. But the Lord knows their story, and the Lord is slowly equipping us as we walk along. But the Lord is always at work, even if we're just there beside the people. When I first went 10 years ago to Uganda, I was working with former child soldiers. And this young man, his name was Francis, he had just escaped from Joseph Kony's regime. He had been there for 2 or 3 years under the power of Joseph Kony. So a child soldier. But when he came back to the village, he was hurt. He wasn't trusted. He didn't know where to begin. And 2 months ago, he found me on the streets of Soroti. And he said, Auntie, I am so excited what God is doing in my life. He goes, I thank you for being there 10 years ago to bring Jesus. He said, but now, he goes, I am the husband of one wife. My farm is doing well. He goes, and I'm trusting God every day. And I just praise God for being at work. You know, even it's not even about us. God is at work all the time. And I'm just grateful to be able to see that a life has been transformed by the grace of God. Psalm 112, verse 7 says, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. How many of us have ever received bad news? All of us, I think. And yet, the scripture says we shouldn't be afraid of it. It's still a part of God's plan, and we need to trust him. And so that's my hope, is to be able to go out and share the good news of God with the youth so that they're strong enough to be able to feel God's presence, to know God's grace as they go through life. So one of the biggest ministries that I do in December and January is to speak at youth conferences across denominations. This one here is a Pentecostal church in the village. There were maybe 200 youth. They came for 2 days. I'm standing with the bishop, and the bishop said, Karen, I don't want to preach this time. I want to hear what God has for you to say. And I was quite honored to have the bishop of the Pentecostal church pass the day over to me, and he was my interpreter. Those youth were there, and we shared together. Sometimes it's only a group of 30 or 15 youth. One of the biggest ones that came this year was from the Catholic Church. They invited me to come to speak to 10,000 youth in an open field. They were there for 4 days, just sitting there in the hot sun, soaking up God's word. And again, I am so thankful for the church I grew up in here, because we honestly have God's word, I think, spoken to us truthfully and clearly. And I say that because the priest who was speaking before me stood the whole time holding up this picture of Jesus with a halo around his head, and his whole message, spoken very slowly, was saying, youth, you need to hang this picture of Jesus in your house, and then you will be blessed. And he spoke like that for an hour, repeating the same thing. And I thought, it's more than idolatry, you know? So I was glad to be able to, again, share the word of God clearly and talk about being youth of integrity and living with purity in our lives. Psalm 37, verse 4 through 6 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. We get to bring light to the world. And one of the ways that I have been equipped to do that is with an agency called One Hope. And I think I've talked about them before here. They create a very colorful, free curriculum that I can bring to the school system or to Sunday school teachers, again, across denominations. And in the last 4 to 5 years, I've been a part of distributing over 31,000 pieces of material. They've passed through my house and passed through my hands, either training teachers and then giving them enough material for all of the kids or being in the school system. I have one hair. Sorry, I keep smudging. So One Hope recently had a training because they said, wow, we have really good curriculum, but again, the teachers don't know how to teach it. And so we had a 4-day workshop on creativity, just learning how to share the gospel with some energy and with some passion, more than just rote, repeat after me, repetition. Those are all redundant words, but that's exactly what the education system is like there. And so to be able to spend time together with 50 other Ugandans was really exciting. But at the end of that week, they gave me an appreciation for the work that I've been doing in Teso region in northern Uganda. And so here's some of the groups that I've trained. And One Hope has broadened their horizons. They used to be just children's ministry. But this curriculum is called Lead Today, and it's for youth. So I'm so glad that they're also moving with the times and saying we need to have some sort of material that reaches out to the youth. And these three ladies are the first to graduate through my Sunday program. They come to my house on Sundays. Up to 9 ladies come. And we went through all 15 lessons together on vision, integrity, timing, just what it means to become godly leaders. And these girls are putting it into practice. And they're now leading that material in their churches. And Teddy, who's the lady in blue or green, she is the project coordinator for a child sponsorship site. And so she has now 200 youth going through that program that she's leading. So I just love seeing how God is spreading the boundaries and sharing his word in truth. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I'm sure we've all heard that verse before, but it's never easy to trust God and to lean on our own understanding. I mentioned it a little bit. This summer, you kind of think, oh, Moses and I, we applied for him to get a visitor's visa to Canada. We put in all the paperwork. We submitted the file on time. We've got this. And then you get denied, right? That's beyond my understanding, because you think you do everything right. But you have to trust God at the end of the day that's his plan, and he knows what is right, and he knows that right now Moses wasn't supposed to come to Canada. But still, as a human being, you kind of go, but this is horrible. I really want him here. I wanted to share. But at the end of the day, God is good. And I know every time, we did it twice this summer, we applied. And you'd build up that hope. We're going to get it this time. We're going to get that visitor visa, he's going to come. And then you get denied. And at first we would cry together. And then Moses would call me a few hours later and he goes, I praise God for this denial. God has a reason. And I respect him so much for that faith. And I said, yeah, I know God has a reason and I trust him in that, but it still sucks, right? He says, I know, and I'm in pain too, but God is good. And if there's anything else we need to learn today, I don't know, but I think at the end of the day, no matter how hard life is, God is good. And he has a plan even when we don't see it. Another thing that I'm really a part of is children's ministry. And so that's a picture in the school system, teaching them the 75 Bible stories. If it's not in the school system, I'm there during school breaks or fun days like Africa Child Day or a Christmas party. Often people invite me to come and be the storyteller. I have a little, like Mr. Dress-Up, tickle trunk of costumes, and I go all prepared to share God's word in a creative way. And I also help out in the background serving snacks or wiping noses or whatever it takes to do children's ministry. Trusting in God does not mean that you will believe everything will go your way the way you want it and that it does. Trusting God does not mean that God will explain everything that is going on in your life. Not easy, because we want those answers. There's no trust in this verse, but I know that it has a place here. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So even when Satan is hard at work, we need to trust in God and in his plan. Some of these boys here have a stronghold in their life. The thief has really tried to come and steal and destroy their lives. They are very addicted to sniffing airline fuel or glue. They live on the streets of Soroti. I love these boys. Every time they see me on the streets, they are filthy. And they come to me begging, and some of them are stubborn because when they're coming with their glue and then they're asking me for bread, I say, well, you could afford glue today. I'm not buying you bread. But other days when they're very hungry and I don't even see any of the glue around them, then they line up and I buy them all some bread and we share that on the streets together. But six of them have said, Auntie, we want to make a difference in our lives. We're tired of living on the streets. And so they have promised me that they are going to stay in school. And so with the help of partners like you, we have sponsored six of them to go through welding class or mechanics class. And I received word 2 weeks ago that they are all 4 months in to a six-month program, still there every day going to school. They've given up their addictions. Yeah. So that's, that's some of them there with their new uniforms and their new tools getting ready to go to school. We must cease strifing and trust God to provide that what he thinks is best and in whatever time he chooses to make it available. But this kind of trusting doesn't come naturally. It's a spiritual crisis of the will in which we must choose to exercise faith. And that quote is from Chuck Swindoll. Sometimes we have crises in our life that we didn't plan for. My friends had a car accident a few months ago, and they're on the side of the road. And they said, Karen, you've got to come. We need to have pictures. We need help. I was with them to get into the medical clinic. Again, the police are not fair in the middle of this situation. But your life has turned upside down in the blink of an eye. And I know that some of us have gone through that. The girl in the cornfields, her name is Karen Joy, my namesake. And she was 9 months old when she was diagnosed with cancer in the eye. That's life-changing for a family. But now she's healthy. She's 8 years old. She has a fake eye, which I go every couple of years with her to the doctor to pick out a new eye. That is quite the experience. But she lives up to her name. She's a joy because I know the joy of the Lord is in her life. And her parents had such faith in God, even in the middle of that hard time. And then another one, her name is Grace, and her dad is a priest in the Anglican Church. And he said, Karen, can you please come to the hospital and comfort your goddaughter because she burned herself with hot porridge. And again, it's just one of those situations where Your day is turned upside down. And sometimes it's life-changing. Sometimes it's just for a day or two. But no matter what, God has a reason for all of those things. So trusting in God does mean that no matter what happens, you will turn to him instead of away from him. How many times in those hard times do we want to say, does God even know I'm here? Does he know I exist? Why would he let this happen to me? 1,300 people were praying right now, I'm sure of it, and God still said no. But he does. He has a plan, it's in his time, and we need to turn to him. We need to trust in him, no matter what. Isaiah 26 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Educational Care is a wonderful program that is created by the Christian Reformed Church. They also have Timothy Leadership Training. Timothy Leadership Training is 8 modules for pastors, and then Educational Care is 6 modules for teachers. And I had the privilege of going with through the 6 modules with 18 other teachers in Sorote. We learned about children being made in the biblical image of God, that it's not about the paycheck at the end of the day, but like seeing that your child is actually a child of God and deserves respect and love. And another course that we did was corrective and preventive discipline. Children in Uganda are beaten every day in class. Some of them come home with welts on their legs, and that's their education system. You weren't listening? Kiboko, that's what they call it. You're being hit. You didn't get an A or a B on this test? Kiboko. And so it's really, really hard there. But to walk alongside teachers and to show them other methods of discipline and other ways of even planning their classroom better so that they don't need to be disciplining, like doing the preventive issues before you even begin class, has been a major discussion. And I am excited to see when I go back to these schools that God is at work and they're having their eyes opened to new methods of teaching. And so it's just exciting to see what the Lord is doing, but it takes time and it's a slow transformation. And right now, okay, 18 classrooms are being changed, but that means 30 to 60 kids inside that classroom are also being changed. And maybe if they become teachers, it will spread faster, right? You start slow, but our God is a big God, and other people are watching these teachers change their methods and change their ways and trust in God. But I'm just glad to be a part of the journey, to be there with them and to talk with them and to encourage them, to color with them, to play with them, to share God's word. God's word says in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. What a wonderful God we have. And like my dear Moses said, in all things we must give thanks. And so we need to trust God at the end of the day. And so my song does give thanks to the Lord in whom I can put my trust. And I've mentioned these ladies before, but the ladies' Bible study group, they come every Sunday. They're supposed to come around 3, but sometimes they come on African time, which is a little later. And it used to be 3 to 5 for a serious Bible study, and now it's 3 to 10 because we do a serious Bible study, and then we do a little mystery box shopping in the kitchen, and Karen, KK's kitchen, Karen's kitchen, comes to life, and I get to prepare whatever they've pulled from my freezer or my pantry. So we play little games and then play board games or watch a movie into the evening. And so we're just really growing as a group, encouraging one another. And when they leave, they say, good night, senior. And I say, good night, juniors, because they like a senior discipler and junior disciplers. I'm not alone in this, and sometimes I learn so much from them, and I'm encouraged by their faith. And they pray for me on hard days, and I pray for them on hard days. And they come over and celebrate on a good day, and I help them at work. And so we're just a family that's really grown together, and I love these ladies so much. And in May, I was able to take them to a conference in Jinja just to bless them for a weekend away with many other women from around Uganda. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And that's my prayer for the people of Uganda, that they would put their trust in him and that they will not forsake him, but that they will trust in him. Part of African culture and really getting to know a person means going to their village. That's the way you're going to strengthen a relationship. And in the past year, I've had, I would say, at least two wonderful opportunities to go to the village. One of them was to Jessica's place. She's the lady in maroon in the front beside me. Her home is a 12-hour drive. Trust me, the roads are terrible. You cannot do a 12-hour drive in one day. I am exhausted after 6-7 hours. The roads are bumpy and just winding. And so we stopped halfway, but we went to her house between Boxing Day and New Year's. And just to be able to meet her family and eat her tribal foods, which is a lot of bananas, cooked bananas for breakfast, lunch, and supper. They say, eat more, it's just water. It's not water, it's really heavy food, but we ate bananas. And, climbed the hills in her area, and we prayed together, and we met her family. But since coming back, I think there's more trust developed between the two of us because I took the time to get to know her on a deeper level. And so I don't know where that officer came that we should never trust people, because just building relationship and trusting each other makes relationships deeper and helps us to see God better. Another one, another village, which was a little further than Uganda, was India. Moses and I and our friends Becky and Rudy were invited to India in March for 3 weeks to go to this bride's wedding. So this man here in the middle, his name is Situ. I met him 10 years ago already, him and his wife, and they have two daughters. They own a few supermarkets in Soroti. And in the last 4 years, he has become a very serious Hindu. He was always Hindu, but now he's like, he has such extreme spiritual disciplines, and he follows the god Swaminarayan. And a lot of Hindus are vegetarian, but he's to the point where he can't even eat onions and garlic because those create anger within your stomach, and they are a people of peace. And a year ago already, he started saying, Karen, will you please, please come to my village? I want you to be at my niece's wedding. It would be a great honor if you came. And how can you turn down an offer like that? So the four of us went, and Situ, he's a talker. We would be driving all over India, and he would say, now this is our temples, and these are our gods, and this is the food we eat. Do you have any questions? But before you ask, let me tell you about this fruit. And you're not saying anything, but before you say something, he would always cut us off. And we did this for days. And finally, I caught him in one moment of space. He says, Karen, you're not saying anything. I said, oh, Situ, we have so much to say, but you need to listen. Okay, my friend, but not today. So we kept doing, he provided our accommodation, transportation, food. If we even said, what is that? He would pull over and say, you gotta taste it. We're like, we cannot fit any more food. He says, no, you've never had it though. You need to eat it. So we were just blown away by his hospitality. But a few days later, we got in the car. He goes, okay, my friends, today I'm ready. I will listen. We had 4 hours to share the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. And he listened with such sincerity. And my prayer is, I mean, we've done our job. It's the Holy Spirit who is going to take over from here. But my prayer is that this man of faith will come, of Hindu faith, will come to know the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Because I know even amongst the Hindu community, his brothers and his cousins and whatever, they all look at him and they're like, ah, that's the Holy One of our family. But if that Holy One can switch to the holiness of God, I just think that would be transforming amongst the Indian community. But I'm so grateful that we went, because at the wedding, we probably met 17 other Indian families who also work in Soroti and Bali and Lira, our surrounding towns. So the Lord is opening up a new door amongst the Hindus and the Sikhs that was never there before because we went to their village. The supermarket closest to my house has this older couple, and the woman always sits cross-legged in the chair, and she looks at you grumpily when you walk in. And the week after the wedding, I went back to that supermarket in Soroti. And she looks at me, and then she goes, India? You like? And she was all of a sudden excited that I was in her supermarket. And she goes, you didn't come home for chai. And I said, but now we are both in Soroti. I can come home for tea. Yes, you come. So I feel like the Lord is opening up a new ministry. And what blesses my heart, again, I have to praise Moses a little bit, but Moses and Situ have become best friends. And now whenever Moses comes, he's been living in Kampala, but when he comes to Soroti to visit me, he always goes to visit Situ. And those two are like brothers. They weep together. They tell stories together. They walk down the street hand in hand. That's okay in Uganda for men to hold hands, by the way. So they are very close. And so I just thank God for that relationship and that someday God is going to change Situ's heart. And I just pray that you will be praying for Situ, that his life can be transformed. This is another, this is my Tata, my grandmother. She just turned 90 this year. And she came home one day. She said, "My granddaughter, I have a dress for you." And so we were twins that day. But again, she lives in the village. That's my village home where I go to spend Boxing Day, is with Tata. And on one of the trainings, I met this old villager. I kind of always like the adventure of going to remote places and seeing what I think you guys all imagine Africans to be, with lots of beads and, you know, naked boys with blankets over their body. And I don't live in that kind of place, but I do get the adventure of going there sometimes. There's an old hymn with a title that says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." That is trust. The ability to say, "Whatever my lot, it is well with my soul." It's not wrong for us to present our wants and wishes to God, but trusting him means that no matter what the answer is, we're not resenting it, that we're trusting God. So I'm trusting God for my future. I'm hoping to get married in November. Lots of changes have happened. Venues and menus have changed. Mom says, "What is the only thing that cannot change about this wedding?" And I said, "The groom." So, so yeah, we're going to be tying our lives together, maybe starting a new kind of ministry. He's really into discipleship and church planting as well, music, but I know that the Lord has a place for us to continue serving the Lord in Uganda. So I just want to say thank you to you as a church for praying with me, for loving on me, for that suitcase of blessings that I took back last year, for cards that are written. I'm just so grateful for your support, and I'm not there alone. I know that we are doing it as a family of God. We are making a difference for the Lord and trusting in him. So go and trust, my friends. God bless you.